Okay. Morning, everyone. Good to be together. Happy 4th of July. This is not a obviously not a topic about America or the 4th of July. It was just a convenient opportunity on holiday morning. But of course, we should express our Hakar Satov to this country for the freedom it affords us as Jews and as it affords the citizens of our country. So we should definitely have the Hakar Satov in mind over the course of the day. I want to thank Herb Schoenhout and Esther Katz and Cy Kaplan for their sponsorship of this year. And I'll start with this. When I brought up the topic to our illustrious president, so he said to me, davening is kind of like a thermostat. When you set a thermostat in a public area, so for some people it's going to be way too cold, for some people it's going to be way too hot. Actually, my father has a story that there was one Yom Kippur where the air conditioning was on in the shul, as it probably should have been, but some people were complaining that it was too cold. So the executive director told the maintenance people to turn off the whole system. And my dad's sitting in his kittel, schwitzing the whole way. So this comes up in shul, but I would even use a different analogy that I've heard, that davening could be likened a little bit to driving. When you're driving, so you have the people, you have the person in front of you who's driving, you have the person, I should say, who's swerving in and out of all the cars, and that person is obviously a crazy maniac. But then the person in front of you who's driving a little too slowly is some sort of moron or whatever other color word that you want to use. And there's a lot of truth to that. I certainly think that anybody who drives faster than me is crazy. Anybody who drives slowly, more slowly than I am is, I don't know what word to use, but there's a lot of truth to that in the way we daven as well, that everybody obviously has a different pace that's appropriate, has a different orientation. Everybody does it a little bit differently. Everybody's going to have a different Goldilocks length in terms of how long a davening should be, what davening should look like, what the qualities should be. And I should say from the beginning that I have my own biases as well. I hope that people recognize that I'm not a crazy fast davener. I don't think I'm such a slow davener either, but I'm not a particularly fast davener. I don't daven the fastest of Shmona Esrei's. I don't say Shema particularly quickly. I also like to sing when I'm Sheikh Sibor. I like singing also. And at the same time, I like there to be flow, momentum when I daven as well. And there's a balance to be had there. So what I want to demonstrate over the course of the Shir is that davening is something that we do need to spend time on for in order for it to be meaningful. And at the same time, that does not mean that it should feel like, it shouldn't feel like it's a burden because we're spending so much time in it. We have to find that balance. And in order to make these points, I brought a lot of sources that I will try not to belabor the sources. Let me share my screen here. Okay. So first of all, you look at the picture on the cover. Looks like it's a school. I don't know what school it is, but you have. It looks like the chazan's still saying Shir Shoyom. All the boys are taking off their tefillin. Everybody's ready to gather now. Of course, they have to at school. They have to go to class. But it's a picture that kind of intrigued me a little bit because of that sort of image that that sometimes we're davening. So we're there, we're davening, and then we throw off our tefillin and we move on with our lives. But in order to set the tone for this year, I should have brought the book up, but I acquired a book last fall by Rabbi Yeshua Grunstein, who's was originally a rabbi in, I want to say, Halifax in Canada, went on to Eretz Yisrael, has taught in different yeshivas, now is the North American director for Tzohar. But he wrote a book called Musings of a Minyaner, Observations and Suggestions on a Minyan-Based Prayer. And he wrote this book because he was saying Kaddish for his father, and there were certain experiences there that made him think a little bit more differently about what davening is like. And he was trying to make the case for making davening an experience that people are able to tolerate and I should say enjoy a little bit more. And he gave a lot of practical suggestions for ways that we can sort of streamline davening a little bit, not at the expense of the davening itself being substantive, but looking at sort of what are the things that sometimes hold up davening, and how can we deal with that. So a lot of it I don't think is particularly nogea for now. I'm happy to lend the book to anybody or to show parts of the book. But the point that he made at the beginning that I wanted to make as well is that while personal observations about prayer are important, and none of our Torah sources supported them, I would have chosen a more private venue with whom to share them. However, when sources are found that are sensitive to these various observations, I believe it becomes vital to share them with the wider public. And that's how I want to approach this as well. So first I want to talk about what's the mindset we're supposed to have in tefillah. So as I pointed out, a couple of these sources, if you were at the Pirkei Avos Shiur a few weeks ago, are a little bit familiar. In fact, the idea for the Shiur was sparked by that particular Shiur. So I want to use these sources to frame the topic a little bit and move on in a little bit of a different direction than the Pirkei Avos Shiur. So Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, have a zahir b'kriya shma v'tfila. One should be cautious in kriya shma and tfila. U'kshatav mitpala altas tfilat kakeva. You shouldn't make your prayer fix. It shouldn't be like automatic routine. It shouldn't be robotic, that it's kind of like that you're producing something, right? An assembly line or sort of machine assembly. So everything is just kind of, you know, one thing after the other. It's the same. But our tefillah should not have that same automatic approach, but it should be rachmim and tachmim. It should be a plea for compassion, be supplication before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shnemar kichanu narachum hu erech apayim rachas v'nicham al hara. He's gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in kindness, and renouncing punishment. So what we get from here is, and Farshim, as we discussed in that shiur, have different understandings of what it means to be cautious about Kriya Shema and Tefillah. But that would be that we should be careful, that we should do it in a way that's meaningful, that it shouldn't be rote and routine. That seems to be the message there. This is corroborated by a Mishnah in Brachos. Rabbi Elazar says, "Ha'osa Tefillah Sokeva, Ein Tefillah Tachmim." Somebody whose prayer is fixed, his prayer is not supplication. And the implication of that would seem to be that tefillah is flawed. So then the Gemara asks the question, so what does the word keva mean? Keva can mean a lot of different things. Again, the word, even in English, the word fixed doesn't seem to really do it as well. So there's a few different answers. So the answer of Rabbi Yaakov Bar Edi, in the name of Rabbi Yoshia, could be, excuse my pointing, this would be a little bit easier for the people to see. Okay, so Rabbi Yaakov Bar Edi says the name Rabbi Yoshia, if your tefillah feels like it's a burden, if it feels like I'm only doing this because I have to, and then I want to get out of there, then that tefillah is not a tefillah of, seems like it's too fixed, it's not an appropriate tefillah. And the rabbis say, if you don't say it in the language of supplication, but if you're saying it in a way that's just rote, without any sort of emotion, without any feeling, then that is a fixed prayer. And Rabbi Eliezer seems to imply that is a flawed prayer and it's not appropriate. Then there's four answers. Fourth, I'm not going to deal with right now, but the third is kol she'eno yachol l'chadish ba'davar. You don't add anything new to it, right? Which also is not really the point of the shiur. I think it's an important idea, though, that we should always add something of ourselves into the davening. But the two most essential points here are that tefillah is not supposed to feel like a burden, and it should be said in a manner that that has emotion, that it feels like we're asking something from Kosh Baruch. Yeah.
I'm a slow down. I can't help this. I'm a slow down. Okay. Now, when it comes to Maror, that's why you don't see me here, Maror. Two people come over to me and they say to me, "Sign, when we're up to Shimon Esrei in the Maror, you have to get up and say Shema together with the congregation." So I say, "What do you want me to do?" Slow down. I'm still on saying Shema, and you're up for Shmona Esrei. So what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do with the Shema?
Okay, that's a good question. So, right, so Shema and Shemona Esrei come together. So, you know, if you're trying to get to Shemona Esrei, you're compromising the Shema. So practical answer there would be, two practical answers are that, number one, you're actually allowed to say Shema after Shemona Esrei if the situation calls for it. And Maariv, in Shacharis, we try not to do that. But in Maariv, if you want to daven Shemona Esrei with the tzibur, you could daven say Shema after. Or you can also, I had this discussion with the Shechter once, because a couple of times where I'd be davening in a minyan, in NYU, I was in that particular location where they were up to Shemona Esrei in like a minute and a half after Maariv started. So you said that you can start davening Maariv early, and in between the paragraphs of Shema, you can say Baruch Hu and then time it. So, you know, if they were getting up to Shemona Esrei 10:02 and I need to start at 9:57, so I'd make sure that I stop in between paragraphs of Birkos Kriya Shema, so I could say Baruch Hu, and then I get up to Shemona Esrei at the same time. So those are two practical solutions. But certainly, and we'll get to this issue of pacing, but an important point. But anyway, so Tefillah is supposed to be, yeah. That's all right. That's also correct. That you can do when you do Chazar Sashat. You can not in Maariv, but Shacharis Mincha. If you need to say come late or whatever reason, so you could say Shmona Esrei with a Shatz and Chazar Sashat. But anyway, so we have the Gemara gives us, and also the Mishnah Novel seems to give us a sense that a tefillah is a burden. It's not said Bilshon Tachnunim, not said a supplication, and then it's a flawed tefillah. Rabbeinu Yonah explains that the two are actually not necessarily the same thing. Person can be davening, not necessarily feeling like it's a burden, but they're not coming from a place of need, then that's not necessarily the proper type, that's not necessarily the proper type of tefillah, according to the Chachamim. At the same time, for Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, somebody could be saying tefillah in a way that's a supplication, but if you're saying it, I need this, and then I have to get out of here, so that's that could be flawed for Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, and Rabbi Oshaya. So Rabbi Yonah explains that these are not necessarily the same things. There's the idea that A, we should not have our tefillah be a burden, and it should be Bilshon Tachnunim. Shulchan Aruch codifies this as being two, codifies both of these ideas. Yispalach, this is source 6. Yispalach derech tachnunim kerash hamavakesh bepetach. A person should daven like their poor person at the entrance, you know, at somebody's door, v'nachas, and it should be at a not a rushed pace. Shouldn't look like you were trying to get out of it. So Shulchan Aruch codifies both of these aspects, and we should try to incorporate both of them in the way they daven. And the Mishnah Brura says on this, about the notion of being a burden, that even though a person saying it as tachnunim, that person is davening in a way that they are expressing needs to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, but you're saying in a way that you're just doing it because you have to, but you're doing it in a way that says, I need to get through this and I need to get out of here. He says, Eino nafon me'o tzarich lizar bazev. Person should be very careful about this. You're not going to repeat one essay for this, but he says that a person should be very careful about this. So our mindset of tefillah certainly should be one that we have a flow, that we have the feeling of it, and that we're not concentrating on the clock and trying to get out of there, but we're trying to daven in a way that makes it feel like that we're really before Kaddish Baruch Hu asking our needs in an appropriate manner. Yeah. Okay, so I'll get to the Shabbos and weekday. I'll get to the Shabbos and weekday distinction. I'll get to the Shabbos and weekday distinction. Okay. Also want to talk a little bit about before and after tefillah. So the Mishnah in Brachos famously says that the Chassidim Rishonim would wait an hour before davening. This is brought also in the Braisa on Brachos Lamed Beis Amud Beis, that the Chassidim Rishonim Hayishon Shachas, they would wait an hour, Mispab Shachas, and then they would daven, the Chosim Rishonim Shachas, and then they would wait another hour. Okay. So now the word sha'a sometimes can doesn't necessarily have to mean an hour. Sha'a could mean like a few moments. But the Gemara says, if you have an hour before Shacharis, an hour for Shacharis, an hour after Shacharis, you have an hour before Mincha, an hour of Mincha, an hour after Mincha, an hour before Maariv, an hour of Maariv, an hour after Maariv. It's 9 hours. So how are people going to work, and how are they going to even learn Torah? How do you have time? How do you have time for anything? No, it's in a meditative state of So Gemara says because they were Hasidim, so the Torah mishtameres melachtami barecha. So the Torah, their Torah preserving the work is blessed in the manner. Now the Shulchan Aruch comes and says in source 9. Yisha sha achas kodim shiyakum mispalo. A person should wait an hour before they daven. You can't just Sharm Tefila says that if you come in a frenzy and you're throwing your towels in tefillin and you're jumping right into Shmona Esrei, so you're not going to say Shmona Esrei with a lot of kavana because your adrenaline from having run in late is going to be flowing. So a person should take a few moments. But he says, "V'sha'achas achar tefila shalotei nires alav pasoishim lamayar alav tesminan." Likewise, should wait an hour so that it's not like a burden that you're running away from it, right? To throw off your tefillin and run at the door is not so proper. So you should wait, quote, an hour before that. Now the Magen Avraham explains that in fact when the Gemara was talking about like a real hour, when it says hour, it means one of the 12 hours of the days, but that's for Chassidim. But for everybody else, it's enough that it should be a short hour, a few moments. A few moments is good for that. Now, the Prima Gadim explains on this that since we say Pesukei Dezimra and Birkot Kriyas Shema and Shema, maybe you wait a little bit even before you start Pesukei Dezimra. So, in fact, he says that it's close to an hour of the Chassid. Now, again, for us, think that hour would be a little bit exaggerated, but the truth is that as it is with Pesukei Dezimra and the like, from the time you enter Shul till the time you actually start your Shmona Esrei, so it could be a good 20-25 minutes, even half hour, depending what time you come in and the like. But it's not necessarily so that we can all fulfill this notion of waiting a little bit without it being a full hour, but it could be a few moments. And the idea was that we wait that moment kadeshi chavin in order that we have kavana. So Prima Gadim also explains that the Ari would daven from a siddur. Great about kolafi masha adam margish benafsho, and everything is based on what a person feels in their soul. I don't know if by that he means in terms of daven from the siddur or just the whole concept of waiting, but there is something to be said for that each person has to be the judge of their own kavana and what they can tolerate. Okay, so there's a notion also that number one or two shouldn't be a burden. We should say it b'derech tachnunim. It should be a way that it feels like there's a notion of supplication, and that we're really we're not just mumbling the words, but our feeling as we're saying the words is reflective of the words that we're saying, and that there's also we have to give a little time before and after in order to make sure that we're settled, to make sure that we're devoting the right time. Now, when it comes to Pesukei Dezimra, so Shulchan Aruch says, "Einam rim hazmira b'merutza k'im b'nachas." Shouldn't say the Pesukei Dezimra super fast, but you should say it b'nachas. And the Mishnah Berurah explains the reason for that. Shaloi dalek shum teva v'loi v'aim. It shouldn't be in a way that you'll accidentally skip words, that you swallow, that you slur them. You should say in a way that you are counting money. So now the Mishnah Berurah gives us a reason for it. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to spend 45 minutes on Pesukei Dezimra in order to, but it should be, again, not, benachas doesn't mean that you're saying it super slowly. It means that you're saying it at a good pace, but the point is not to rush it. In as much as a person is able to say the words without slurring them, without skipping words, without tripping over themselves, so it doesn't seem like that there's any guidelines really beyond that. There's an interesting anecdote from Rav Schechter's Nefesh HaRav about Rav Soloveitchik, that Rav Soloveitchik hayah noheg mispalel b'mehiras. Rav Soloveitchik would daven quickly. V'amar shekein hayah noheg zakeinu hagrach. His grandfather, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, Rav Chaim Brisker, would daven this way. And when they asked Rav Chaim Brisker, the priests say that you're supposed to daven like you're counting money. You're supposed to daven slowly. Why are you davening so quickly? So he said, that's how I count money. I count my money very quickly. So again, some of this is probably dependent on the person. There is, you know, and you see here, there's a precedent that even Gedolim sometimes davened a little bit quickly. I'm told that my father's experiences at JTS, so Rav Shaul Lieberman certainly was a gaon. He davened quickly, especially, well, we'll get to the issue of Torah in a little bit, so maybe that's a different story, but there are some Gedolim who daven extremely slowly, and others who daven a little bit more quickly, but I think everybody would agree that we should daven in the way that we're able to pronounce the words. Before I go on any further, though, and I'll get to this point a little bit later as well, but I think another point to mention is that, again, a lot of this will come out later, but let's say the tzibur is davening at a particular pace, and you can't necessarily keep up, especially psukei dezimra. For you to say all the words properly, you can't necessarily daven at the same pace. So that doesn't, you don't have to say all psukei dezimra. In fact, because my face is like halfway through the camera. I was at a YU conference. I mentioned just certain aspects about this conference over the last few years. We had a session on tefillah with Rabbi Menachem Penner, and he shared that there were two Rosh Yeshiva that were talking about how we can improve our tefillah. And one who's very philosophically eloquent was talking about the existential aspect of what we feel during tefillah. And the other Rosh Yeshiva, who's possibly the greatest Rosh Yeshiva in the yeshiva, said, "Say less. I don't understand why everybody's saying all that much. I can't say all the words. You don't have to say everything." So I think that's especially true psukei dezimra, that we have this notion of davening benachas, but you can also do that by not necessarily feeling like you have to say everything. Shliach tzibur has to say things, and we'll talk about the proper pace for the tzibur. But as an individual, we should also realize that that saying things benachas might mean that we don't necessarily say every part psukei dezimra every single time. Yeah. That's also true. So that's all specifically by it's Arachaim Nun Aleph. That's specifically by Pesukei Dezimra. It can be true about Shema also. Shema, we have to be very careful not to swallow the words. That's a Beferish Mishnah. But even by Pesukei Dezimra, that's the case. Now, there's something, and so one of Rabbi Grunstein's recommendations for shuls, and he wrote this post-COVID, right, when everybody kind of experienced the faster paced davening. And he said one thing that might be good for shuls to do is to start from Ishtabach. So maybe say brachos. My meeting time will end in 10 minutes. This is terrible. I might have to restart the meeting in 10 minutes. So if you get kicked off, hold up and I'll resign them. Hopefully it'll work. Never had this issue before. So his recommendation was that shuls maybe should start from Ishtabach. So everybody say brachos at home. Then you come to shul, say psukei dezimra, and everybody knows that there's a particular time. And that way people aren't caught up in how fast the chazan's going and how much korbanos, you know. That's one of my things about korbanos. I'm not a big fan of saying all korbanos in shul, because not everybody, most people don't say all the korbanos, and you want to say all korbanos, so come a little bit early. But the whole tzibur doesn't have to be held up for the chazan to say korbanos. Okay, let's talk about the length of Shmona Esrei. So when it comes to the length of Shmona Esrei, so the Gemara says, "Kol marach b'tfilaso ein tfilaso chozer es reikam." Somebody who davens a lengthy tefillah, their tefillah will not be returned. Returned empty. Where do we learn this from? From Moshe Rabbeinu, because it says Vishpala El Hashem, and it says afterwards Vishma Hashem Elai Gam B'Pamahi. Hashem had listened. So it's a good thing to lengthen your Shmona Esrei according to Rabbi Chanina, and right to shortly after says that there are four things that require bolstering and continuous improvement, including that is tefillah. By the way, it should be very clear that tefillah in Chazal is always referring to Shmona Esrei. So when we talk about being Marech tefillah, it doesn't mean that you have to spend 5 hours in shul. It means that your Shmona Esrei perhaps needs to be lengthened. Now, there is another story in the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Maaseh B'Talmid Afa, there is a story with one student that was davening from the Amud. He was taking too long. So the Talmidim said, "Kam Arachan, who is that? He's davening so long." So then Rabbi Eliezer said, "Look, Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai for 40 days, 40 nights davening. So there's no such thing as too long." But at the same time, there was a Talmid who was davening before the Amud in front of Rabbi Eliezer, and he was a little bit too short. He was excessively abbreviated. The Talmidim said, look how short he's davening. Again, get this a little bit this Goldilocks thing. You know, this guy's a maniac, and this guy's an idiot. Yeah, what? Yeah, this one's too long. This one's too short. So Rabbi Eliezer says, look, Moshe Rabbeinu also davened a short tefillah. Kel na refan alam parshas balos kol. We davened for Miriam. It was a 5-word tefillah. So this gives us a sense that, you know, that on the one hand, you know, there could be an issue with going too long. On one hand, there could be an issue with being too short. But maybe there's really no such set time. In the Sharon Petfil of Rav Pinkus, so he tells a story that there was one Rosh Hashanah where a particular gadol went up to this individual and said to him jokingly, "Show me in your machzor where are all these words that I didn't have that you were davening for so long." So Rav Pinkus says maybe the point wasn't that a person shouldn't daven, but there is an aspect of doing a short davening. But I do feel a little bit of this sometimes. Actually, I don't know where this source went. I saw in the Pirkei Avos of Shlomo Zalman Arbach. So he talks about he sometimes daven apparently in 18-minute, 20-minute Shmona Esrei. He said to his students a number of times, "What? Can't give 1 minute of each bracha to a Kadosh Baruch Hu?" So maybe in certain yeshivas, maybe that's deemed appropriate, but. But we see from these sources that there's not necessarily a set time that person should daven Shmona Esrei. But at the same time, you know, I think certainly to say the words is important. To have a mila b'mila, to say the words and to try to at least try to have kavana for each word. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to meditate on each word, right? The person who's spending 50 minutes on Shmona Esrei, so obviously they're not necessarily saying each word in the manner of conversation and like. So it doesn't mean that the person who's only davening the 5-minute Shmona Esrei is doing anything wrong. But also, Gemara talks about how Rav Hamnuna was taking a long time with his davening, and Rava said to him, "Manichin Chaye Olam ve'oskim Chaye Shah. You're ignoring Chaye Olam, which is Torah, and you're dealing with Chaye Shah. Temporary life with, you know, life in this world, which is davening. Davening is something we need for this world, but Torah gives us credit in Olam Haba. So you should be shortening your davening so you can spend more time learning Torah." So Rav Hamnuna thought, tefillah l'chud, zman Torah l'chud. Yeah, we compartmentalize. Right? There's time for Torah, time for tefillah, and they don't come at the expense of each other. But it does give us a sense that maybe there is a reason sometimes to maybe daven a little bit less if it gives us the time to learn Torah, that's appropriate. So I want to call attention to the fact that the Mishnah and the Gemara, as brought by the Rambam, talk about the halachas of a person. If a person's on top of a tree, so are they allowed to say Shema and Shmona Esrei? So Shema, you only need a kavana for one pasuk, but for tefillah, you would have to get down for the tree because you have to concentrate. You need more kavana for tefillah. So to daven while you're like working on top of a tree maybe is not entirely safe. So if they were davening just for their to get money for their food, so they would daven full Shmona Esrei. Are you also mischaron? But if they're getting an actual salary, mispalin havinenu. You daven the short havinenu, which is like the all Shmona Esrei combined into one bracha. Rambam goes on to explain also that when it comes to benching, so a person, if they're on such a clock with the workers, so maybe they would also shorten benching a little bit. So there's also an aspect that when it comes to the weekday in particular, so I don't recommend davening having a noon. Again, I don't recommend rushing quickly, but when it comes to weekday davening, so perhaps there's something to be said for the fact that people have to work to make a living. So there's one time somebody said to me, I don't care if people have to go to work, we should take davening should take as long as it is. I don't think that's correct. People genuinely have to get to work. Of course, when you're the owner of your business, so maybe the calculation is a little bit different. But people have responsibilities to show up at a particular time, so they have to do that. It's not a choice. To the point, because then you're stealing from your employer. To the point where perhaps a tefillah will be shortened under certain circumstances. Yeah. Right, and that's it. I think it's an important consideration. So it could be relative, but this is where I'm going to get into the issue of tefillah tircha de tzibura, and I'm really hoping that at least if the Zoom times out, that I'll be able to restart. I hope it's not like for one day that it can't. Again, everybody, if you get timed out, just click on the link again, and hopefully it'll work. So the Mishnah Brachos says that they wanted to include Parshas Balak and Kriyat Shema. They wanted to include Parshas Balak and Kriyat Shema because it has the pasuk Karasha Chav Karuch Lavi Mi Kumenu. He crouched. He laid down like a lion and lioness, and who shall rouse him? This is referring to getting up to say Shema. So the Gemara says, it's source 21. The Gemara says that they wanted to say Parshas Balak in Kriyat Shema. So why do we not say Parshas Balak in Kriyat Shema? Yishum Torach Tzibur, because it would be too much of a burden on the community. What you see from here is that even within davening, Chazal made calculations that if we require everybody to say too much of davening, it's just simply too much. We don't have a goal of making people daven just for the sake of davening. Just say what they have to say and certain things that have to be included. But if something is going to, if especially when it comes to Parshat Balak, you only want one pasuk, and the Gemara explains that they didn't want to just include one pasuk, not the whole section, be problematic. So for that one pasuk, it wasn't worth it to create a whole tircha de tzibur. We see this come up in another scenario where on Yom Kippur, this is source 22, the chazan would take the Sefer Torah and they pass it around, and then there was a Kriyas HaTorah, and then we'd get to what we often, maybe trying to signal to me that the shiur itself is too long. Okay. All right, it looks like we've gotten most people back. Okay, so they read from the Sefer Torah, but when we get to Achbe Asor, the what we call the Maftir from Sefer Bamidbar, the Kohen Gadol would say Baal Peh, he would say it by heart. And why is that? The Gemara explains in source 23 on page 8 that the question is, so why not roll the Sefer Torah from Akrimos to Pinchas? And the answer is She'en golin Sefer Torah b'tzibur. We don't roll the Torah in public. We make vod hatzibur, and for the sake of the tzibur. And Rashi explains vod hatzibur here is tichah de tzibur. Shehu mitzapin v'domin l'kachem. Everybody's sitting around waiting for them to roll the Torah, and it might only take to roll Sefer Torah. I mean, if you're going from Bereishis to Kfar, it takes a while, but to roll from Akrimos to Pinchas, it's maybe 3 minutes, right? It's not a whole long time, and yet it's long enough that's considered that everybody should sit around would not necessarily be
put in one Torah.
I believe that there is did I bring this here? Um, Yeah, I believe there are. So when it comes to rolling the Sefer Torah, kind of. Okay, so skip for a second to source. Skip to source 33 on page 10 for a second. So the Shulchan Aruch codifies this, that the way we apply this halakhically is that if you only had one Sefer Torah nowadays, this is a different idea. Source 30. Sorry, got a little bit, some of my sources got a little bit out of order here. So Shulchan Aruch says, in going Sefer Torah b'tzibur, you don't roll a Torah b'tzibur, b'mnei kvod b'tzibur, because of the honor of the community. But if you only have one Sefer Torah and you have to read two different things, then you do roll it, and then we are dochet kvod b'tzibur. So ideally, we should try to make sure that we don't have tirfa b'tzibur enrolling the Torah. We don't want people to sit around. If you have to, you have to. Credit the Mishnah Berurah says, even to the point where if you get to David and you realize you haven't rolled the Torah, so better to roll the Torah during Pesukei Zimra, which by the way might mean that a couple people are not able to say Pesukei Zimra, but better to roll the Torah during Pesukei Zimra than to do it during davening. What? And say it wrong, and then you're really stuck, right? So again, that might only be a couple of minutes, but it's not worth the tircha. That's also what what's brought in the name of the Taz and the Shari Tshuva, that if a person gets an aliyah, they have to put on talus. So normally you put on talus, you have to check to make sure that it's a kosher. And yet, we tell a person not to check the tzitzis for the aliyah because it's going to cause a tircha de tzibura. That's brought in the name of the Taz. To check your tzitzis only takes 5 seconds, but even there, we try not to be matriach the tzibur. The Gemara in Brachos talks about Rabbi Akiva when he would daven. So when he davened by the tzibur, this is back to source 25. When he davened with the tzibur, so he would say a short tefillah because of Torah HaTzibur in order not to cause a burden to the community. We davened by himself, so he'd be davening so long that he wasn't even conscious of where he was, that he'd be starting one corner and end up in the other corner. But when he davened with the community, he made sure to make it short. Now the Shulchan Aruch says that if there are a few individuals who daven a long Shemona Esrei, you don't have to wait for them, even if they are the Hashuve Ha'ir, even if they are the important individuals. But the Mishnah Berurah says that nowadays the custom is Mamtin Ashisayim Ha'av Beis Din, or the rabbi, you wait for the rabbi to finish. The Fisher Rov Hanashim is Palin Bemrutza, because most people daven very quickly. He's Palin Mil Bemila, Lo Yuchal Lomar Kedushi Matzibor. Somebody who davens at a, I don't know how you say this, a more normal pace, whatever it is, won't be able to say Kedusha. So therefore, we wait for the rabbi because we assume that on the one hand, everybody else is not davening appropriately, but the rabbi is davening appropriately, right? It's not really about the rabbi himself, but the fact that the rabbi, when you see the rabbi finish, you can assume that it was a proper time to have davened Shemona Esrei. But avak shemarich in hamtinah. But if he's going on and he's saying his own supplications, his own kilas, and the like, so then you don't necessarily have to wait for him. I saw somewhere, I don't know if this is true, but I don't remember accurately. But I remember reading once that the Chafetz Chaim would actually tell people to go ahead. You don't want people to wait for it. And that's my own cheshbon also. Sometimes I want to be able to daven what I feel like I need to daven. But on the other hand, if I see that people are getting a little bit restless, I don't want the tircha de tzibura. I want the minion to finish at a good time. So in order to not rush myself, but not to hold back the tzibura, I'll tell people to go ahead. I think the assumption is that for those who daven shma at whatever's considered a normal pace, it gives them the opportunity then to start Shemona Esrei with the tzibur. But as the assumption there is also that the rabbi is saying Shema at what is considered to be the appropriate pace, making sure that he's saying each word without swallowing the syllables and the like. So, in fact, so Rav Rav Uziah, one of the chief rabbis of the Sfarad, I think he was the first Sfaradi chief rabbi of Israel, was asked a question about waiting for somebody to finish Shmoneh Esrei. So he gives an interesting answer. He says, the Shliach Tzibur not only does not have to, but is not allowed to wait for an important person if it's going to be at the expense of the community. So that's particularly if the person's adding extra things. But if the reason why a person's taking a long time is because they're trying to say all the words properly and they're trying to have proper kavanah, so then you should wait for them so that that person doesn't lose out kedusha. Okay, so on one hand, it's only if shalom kedin, as he says later, it's only if the person's davening much longer than is necessary that you don't wait. If the person's davening properly, then maybe it is worthwhile to wait. And he further says, kol ba'al beis haknesses adad minhag huba. When people come to shul, they come assuming knowing what the shul's norms are. That means that they've given up their kavod. So that's a very interesting thought. That it could be that by definition, by coming to shul and agreeing to davening as part of the minyan, you've given up your kavod and you've given up your right to tircha de tzibur because you know what the minyan is going to be like. And then he says, "Umikomakom mitzvah kol ish b'israel b'afil adam pasha shelo arich b'tzivato harbe liyugam aydekach." Even if maybe Meikar Din, we might say that the tzibur has a right to take whatever time it's used to taking. He says a mitzvah on each individual to make sure that they're not taking too long in order to not cause a tircha de tzibur, or sheyetu afil achadim de tzibur beis haknesset b'vaza, or that people should leave the shul because of that. That's a big issue nowadays that really all shows have to grapple with. It's on the one hand, you could say, look, this is how we dive in. If you want to be with us, you have to be with us. But every show in America is always like trying to figure out how to get more people in the doors. So if, forget people leaving, but even if for people to come in the first place, so you have to make that consideration of what's the appropriate length that will enable people to be comfortable davening in the show. So that is, so that is a consideration. I've myself done that before. So there's a balance there. And I think the simple answer there is that I think people have to dive in at a pace where they're actually saying the words properly. Certainly, if the tzibur is davening so fast that somebody who's davening normally can't keep up whatsoever, so maybe that's not the right pace for them. We'll still try to come to, as the Rambam says, to come to the Shvil Hazav, to be in the middle path is always the best path. I want to address specifically the issue of Shabbos. The Gemara Brachos points out that we don't say 19 brachos on Shabbos and Shmoneh Esrei. We only say seven, and part of that might be because we don't, it's an aspect of non-davening for worldly needs on Shabbos. But the Gemara says specifically, because we don't burden the person to daven long for an Esrei because of Shabbos. In other words, again, built into Chazal, there's an idea that we don't want to be matriarch people, that we don't want to burden people, especially on Shabbos. So the Rimi Gash was asked a question about Ticha de Tzibura. So this actually wasn't specifically about Shabbos, but he says, "V'im ein b'tzibur me'acher marich b'tfilaso zu laso ra'ui lo liyos lo derech eretz musar imas tzibur v'lo yarech b'tfilaso la'tviach al tzibur b'yos ha'mamtinim." So this is talking about Shliach Tzibur specifically. Shliach Tzibur should try to be the one that's not holding everybody up. Right? That if he's the only one who's davening that long, so from Derek Eretz, he should make sure that he's not the one that's holding everybody up. Likewise, the Rashba says, is asked a question about a chazan who sings during davening. So he says that if the Shliach Tzibur is somebody, source 36, if the Shliach Tzibur is somebody who that he feels a lot of joy and he's giving Shevach and Hodah to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that he's praising Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the purpose of using of singing is to use his beautiful voice to serve Kadosh Baruch Hu. So he says Tavo Olav Bracha. But if he's doing this in order to prove to people that he has a nice voice and he's trying to put on a concert, then maybe that's not appropriate. He says, regardless of what your intention is, it's better not to elongate things, to drag things out, because we're told to shorten things because of Torah HaTzibur. Seems like obviously this is more relevant on Shabbos. During the week, we don't have a lot of singing anyway. So particularly on Shabbos, we have this concern. And likewise, the Yamshel Shlomo, or Shlomo Luria, source 37, says, even on Shabbos and Yom Tov, a person shouldn't make davening longer. But after it's on a call, Yosem Yidam Iguna, even if the community wants it, you shouldn't do it. You might say, go to Tzibur or Tirchel Tzibur. Well, if everybody's happy with it, then it's good. And Yamshel Shlomo says, maybe it's not so good because you're supposed to have half for Hashem and half for you, and the person shouldn't. So the singing on Shabbos is not supposed to be overly too much. Pichadash had this discussion when it came to piyutim. And piyutim, we think of obviously being relative on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, but some communities say yotzers on Shabbos. So people would say, people were saying, there was a lot of piyutim going on. The Pichadash really, really did not like it. And he says, they're wasting time with it, and it leads to people talking, and they're not taking Veloni Kach Musar Haskel Mehem. We should be Why are we more pious than Chazal, who said that we're supposed to daven shorter on Shabbos because of Kod Shabbos, in order to have Onik Shabbos? And by saying piyutim, you're burdening the community, burdening other people. And you might as well at that point daven all the weekday Shmona Esrei. If you're gonna make daven that long, so you obviously don't care about Kod Shabbos, you might as well say the weekday Shmona Esrei as well. And he also brings a concern. On the one hand, maybe people will eat before davening. And then on the other hand, you have people who are fasting too much, because if you don't eat before your davening and you get out extremely late, right? It says, Asar lehisanus av chatzos hayim. If davening is going on past chatzos, then people maybe are fasting. On the other hand, if people know davening is going to be long, they're going to eat. So he brings all sorts of issues in that regard. Rav Yaakov Emden brings up the issue of tircha d'tzibur when it comes to the mishaberachs. It brings up the issue of asking for our needs on Shabbos. He says, El Mishim Torah Kasibur, Emis Palim Bo, Yod Kas Rak Shabbat Brachas. Again, we only say seven blessings on Shabbos because of Onik Shabbos. We shouldn't make davening longer because of Tircha de Tzibura. And he says, perhaps, okay, it's difficult to protest people. You know, he even brings up the issue of saying you can work on. He says, Misha Berach for every single person is not appropriate. It's a tircha de tzibur. We don't even say full shmona esrei. But actually, no din larich. But Misha Berach, so lefamim is afkvin al chatzos, and we're not getting out of shul till past noon. And he says that's not appropriate. And he says, if I could get rid of the minhag, I would. So what are we supposed to do with all this? So on the one hand, we were told that we're not supposed to make davening feel like a burden. On the other hand, we're also told that we're not supposed to, that it seems like there are situations where davening is a burden. So how do we balance this? So as I mentioned before, there's idea of tov me'at tachni b'chavana me'habos b'lo kavana. Better to say less than more. So when it comes to our own personal davening, psukim of Zimra, maybe sometimes it's better for us to say less so that we're able to say it in a way that we'll say it properly and not feel like it's going to take forever if we have to say everything. That's something important. There's the Gemara, Echad Amami Echad Hamarbe Ulevashi Chavin Libo B'Shamayim, where Menachem says that whether one says a lot, does a little, that's in the context of Barbanos, but same applies here as well. Now, it's not necessarily about the quantity, but it's about the quality. question was posed to Rabbi Gideon Weitzman of the Pua Institute. His specialty is actually issues related to fertility and the like, but he answered this question. So the person asked, I find that I can only daven with kavanah if I daven fast. I daven slow, my mind begins to wander. So, you know, what do I do here? He says, there's no halacha definition of how long prayer should last. You find that you say all the words with the proper intention, then you have fulfilled your obligation regardless of how long it takes you. Each person has to pray at their own pace. A McGill student of Torah Musings had an article about the case for quick davening. He was the one who brought some of the sources on about davening versus learning Torah. And he points out, so on the one hand, you know, if you have a certain amount of time for let's say a weekday, you have a certain amount of time before work, so you spend all of it davening, don't have time for learning, then maybe you lose out. On the other hand, sometimes our davening, if we daven properly, can have a really good impact on our day and our spirituality throughout Shabbos, throughout the day. So you don't want to daven too quickly, but you also have to take into consideration that davening is not necessarily the only mitzvah that we have. And the Sharon B'Tfilah also was asked, brought up this issue. So he said that one rabbi who was asked a question, how long should davening take? And the answer was, until you finish. Down until you finish. So it doesn't matter if you take a long time, take a short time, but you should down until you finish it. But he says there's an inyan of Kvod Shemayim, the issue of the honor of Ribono Shel Olam. And when it comes to that if you were to go to a friend and you were to or if somebody comes to you and says, I want to talk to you, you say, I don't have time for you, so that's obviously not appropriate. And we shouldn't do that to Hashem either. We shouldn't be at the point where we're how did he say it? It shouldn't be at the point where we're saying Refuah Parnaseh, Shalom Bracha, and I have to be Derech Eretz before Kadosh Baruch Hu as well. That we're not crunching in the words to the point where we're saying to Kadosh Baruch Hu that we don't have time. I want to conclude with the following. I know maybe I'm causing a tircha, but I want to, as usual, I like to do things in a way that's thorough. And as comprehensive as possible to try to get to the nuance of the issue. I want to talk about my own experience in yeshiva. It was interesting at Yeshiva University, in every minute, including the Bate Medrash, there are actually sheets that tell you how long you're supposed to take for different parts of davening. So in the main base medrash where many rabbanim daven, 5 minutes from brachos to Rabbi Yishmael, right? They don't. Somebody asked Rabbi Yosef Lau once, I think this is what he told me, that why don't we give more time for korbanos and we take all this time for Krishma? So Krishma is a mitzvah d'oraisa, and korbanos is not. Want to save more korbanos, come early. But 5 minutes for five minutes for korbanos. Now, davening would take about 45 minutes on a davening would take about 45 minutes on a non-laning day, about 55 minutes to an hour on a laning day. Okay, so it's a yeshiva, it's a little bit longer. But there was still a timesheet that was set. And one might ask, well, again, are you supposed to set a time for davening? Should daven until it finishes? And maybe it's not about, ask the question on the flyer, is this a meeting with the CEO? There's this guy, Hill of Gold, who posts, he's a big entrepreneur. So he posts a picture of himself davening some morning saying, I'm meeting with the CEO. So, you know, the meeting with the CEO starts time as an agenda and it finishes in a time and minute. So maybe we shouldn't be setting strict times for davening, but at the same time, we have to set expectations for both the tzibur and the shatz that it has to be done in a way that that the people know what to expect, because that affects people's mindset and the feeling of it being a burden is going to increase if it's going much longer than it's supposed to be. So both for the sake of the shliach tzibur and for the tzibur, it could be that it's good to set expectations for how long certain aspects of davening takes, because we generally know when we daven in a community what can be normal or what's appropriate way for it to be done. It shouldn't be drastically different every time. The other thing I'll point out about my experience in NYU is that davening on Shabbos morning actually took just about 2 hours, which, considering that takes a long time during the week, is remarkable. But it was interesting to me. First of all, they don't have a drush. Okay, so it's 2 hours and 15 minutes. It's 2 hours, But they would daven. Obviously, Shmona Esri was not rushed. Suki Dezember was not rushed. It was done in a timely way. But there are other ways where they were mekatzer. So they brought the Torah straight to the Aron. They never sang Vayhibin Sower. They never sang Mizmor LeDavid. I don't think they even sang Itzhaim. There are pros and cons to that. But there's a certain sense. It's not I hate to use the word efficiency with davening, because again, it shouldn't be a business transaction. But at the same time, there's a sense that there's a flow of momentum. You know, I think the tunes that we have for Bahim Yitzhak, Mizmor LeDavid, and all of that give a sense of sort of dignity to taking out the Torah. But it also gave me a sense that maybe, you know, doesn't have to be that way, depending on what the circumstances are. And sometimes, you know, we've been bringing around the Torah a little bit more in the main shul. But at the same time, there's an idea of bringing the Torah, you know, straight up, straight out. You know, it's nice to kiss the Torah, but if it's one of those areas that's adding to the tircha because it's taking extra time, so maybe that has to be dealt with. So my concluding points would be that I think we can all work on the quality of our davening, which means that maybe certain parts we really do have to slow down. Maybe for all of us, we need to slow down our Shmona Esrei, even slow down Psukei Dezimrah and Shema. And part of that really just comes, we have to reframe our orientation. I didn't get a chance at all to talk about Rav Dov Zinger and his revolution on tefillah, but just the way we relate to tefillah, perhaps I think we can all grow in that area, myself included. At the same time, I would distinguish between personal and communal tefillah. Maybe in our personal tefillah, there is room to do it a little bit more benachas, not to rush it a little bit. But it comes to the context of a community, so we can't necessarily impose on people to the concept of tircha d'sipur means that we can't impose on people that davening should take a certain time. So, and part of that means that maybe the parts where we do need to spend more time in shul is on Shmona Esrei, Kriya Shema, and the like. But then there are other areas that are not so essential to tefillah. So we started adding back. We did start adding back Misha Berach. So I'm glad we combined the Misha Berach after that. There's only one Misha Berach, even for donations. But you know, it's important to raise money for the shul. And at the same time, things that are not directly germane to the tefillah itself, maybe those parts we have to think about where to constrict it, because it's the parts where people are sitting idly and the like that cause people to feel like it's a burden. If you're in the zone down in Shmona Esrei, there's no burden to feel. But if there's things sort of external to the experience of davening that are making it take longer, so that becomes that's where the issues of tirfa come up. If you have an intention when it comes to singing, also. Right, so again, I believe in singing. I think singing really adds to tefillah, adds to the spiritual experience. It can be really uplifting. And at the same time, the amount of singing is different from communion. So in certain Karbach style minyanim, so they'll sing forever and ever and ever. And for some people, that's nice. For other people, at a certain point, okay, one nigun, two nigunim can be nice. But if you're singing 20 nigunim, you're doing them all for 10 minutes. So it takes forever. Might be a distinction between an intentional community that's created for that purpose, where you're in a community that already has 10 shuls and you're creating a separate minion for people who want to dive in longer. That's a wonderful thing. I won't endorse communities that dive in Psukei Dezimrah in 8 minutes and are done diving 20 minutes. But a community that wants to dive in longer and everybody who's there is part of that message, I think that's good. I think a shul that's serving a broader subset community has a responsibility to make it shalom chol nefesh, which means that it might be too fast for some people, might be too slow for other people. But the point, of course, should not be that the davening itself is mediocre because we're rushing it, or making it too slow. But it should be to the point where most people can feel like they're coming out with experience that brought them closer to God. I have here the chart. I've shared this before, but on the last page. But it gives a sense. You daven an average conversation weekday davening should take 40 minutes, 48 on non-laying days. If it's a fast conversation, 35 minutes on non-laning days, 42 minutes on non-laning days. I think the goal is probably to be a little bit of the balance in between the two. The auction thing is entirely excessive in my opinion. I don't know how I can dive in that quickly. But you know, we want to feel like again that we're given proper derech eretz of Shparchu, that we're talking to him. Rav Soloveitchik talks about how Shmona Esrei can be like talking to Hashem like a friend. We should say the words like we're talking to a friend, but it should still, in terms of saying communal expectations, there should be a sort of a way that that there's a little bit of a standard that makes it work. And I'll end with this. I saw this Rabbi Grunstein's book quoted in the name of Rabbi Beryl Rosenzweig's Zichrono Libracha. The job of the leader is to aspire to the ideal yet deal with the real. We should try our best to daven in the way that gives the greatest dignity to davening. Davening should be something that's dignified, should be done in a beautiful way, but we still have to deal with it in a real way. We have to deal with the human we're dealing with. That's a balance between not making tefillah feel like a burden, but also ensuring that I don't have tikkun tzibur. Again, sorry for the length of the shiur with all that said, but I hope that people found it to give us some sort of context for how we can process and discuss how we approach our davening. Wishing everyone a wonderful holiday.